مارك السهابة, The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
Just gone 8:51 in Central African time. At that time of the morning, we will be joined by our very own Ahmad Parak, Uncle Ahmad Parak, on a segment of Straight Talk. Ahmad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with another fine Sunday morning. Slight drizzle, Shafat, but we needed the rain. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with another day, Shafat.
Absolutely, Allah blesses us, and our lovely cool weather. The garden is getting greener, and the birds are happy. What's the latest on Kafan Dafan, Ahmad?
Shafat, we have been liaising with the government department, especially the Department of Health, regarding the silly season, what is going to be the position in terms of road accidents and how we will be able to get our bodies in time. So they have put in extra doctors for the festive season. But let's see, you know, government tell you everything in the beginning, but when the time comes when we need them the most, you can't find them. So alhamdulillah, we have put this in motion. So there will be additional pathologists will be on call. And inshallah, we'll be able to, if there is any, Allah forbid, if there is any accidents, to be able to get the bodies in time, Shafa.
Well, you've been having a busy year with the different radio societies and so forth. And, you had a very productive year. Some of the highlights for you, Ahmad?
Shafa, the most important thing, what we want to do is, and inshallah, with the help of Allah, next week, next year, I want to centralize the entire Islamic Burial Council national. So that is our aim, and I think we are about there. We have got another maybe 3-4 provinces to finish, and there we should be having a national body. Now, having a national body is going to make it much easier for us in terms of what the problem that we are faced, especially in the country, for most of the provinces. And yesterday I went to a place. It is a private cemetery, Shafadi, in Matishkam. And I went and saw. I was invited to come and view this thing. Shafat is a private cemetery, and it's an elite area right behind the Matishkam Hospital. But if you look at that, you feel like crying. What a beautiful cemetery! But the bush is about maybe 1.5 meters high. You can't even see the grave. It got such beautiful tombstone. It is non-Muslim cemetery. But they called me to come and assist them. They said they tried everything. Nobody's coming to the aid. And then you came. You have been invited. And you didn't say, hi, not coming tomorrow. I'm busy or whatever it is. I said, tomorrow I will be there certain time. And I was there yesterday. And Shafat, when I saw, I took videos of that. And I'm going to take it up and I'm going to expose them. You cannot leave cemeteries like that. You know, people love one. I saw a black family with a two children actually cleaning her father's grave. Those two boys and the mother were actually cleaning the husband's grave and all that, cleaning in. They paid a guy 300 there for the last 2 days to just clean up that area so they could go there and they could go. And, you know, they actually brought water from home with a scrubbing brush to scrub that the tombstone and everything to make it look good and all that. So, you know, there is cemetery, you know, especially among the black. When it comes to cemetery and when they see things like that, there will be a big uproar coming this week when I start hitting the media regarding that cemetery. People will come because I took some prominent names there. There were some Logo, Sele, and all these names. And I want to hit the press with that. You will see in no time, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, that same cemetery will be shining. But because the people are lax with everything, you know, they say, no, don't worry about it. And that's where we come in and we make sure, whether it's Muslim cemetery, non-Muslim, it has to be, it's a dignified area. It is a dignified cemetery. You have to make sure that thing is cleaned and all, like how we Muslim keep our cemeteries. And they salute us because they see how many people have accepted Islam just by seeing how we bury our loved one and how easy and how cost-effective it is, and they've accepted Islam. You know, I was said on radio in Transkei, and a very wealthy family, the entire family, 3 brothers and 2 sisters have accepted Islam. So by virtue of seeing what happens and how we do our burial, people have accepted Islam, Shafat.
You know, this is parks and recreation. I mean, they should be cleaning up the graveyards and your verges and the bushes. I mean, drive down the south coast, Ahmed, and you'll notice that the verges are virtually growing onto the roads. And when they come and they cut, or if they mow your lawn or the mow the verges, they don't even pick up the dirt. Ahmed, what type of people, what are they getting paid for? Are you giving it to subcontractors? We just go and hire a bucky for the day, or may even hire the equipment, pick up 10 or 12, young men or young women and say, start cutting. What's going on, Ahmed?
Shafar, there's two entities. One, you've got the road, Department of Roads. They have to take care of all the verges, national freeways and all that. But when it comes to the city, that's where I'm in that committee, that is the community service committee. And our community service committee is the biggest committee and the biggest budget that we get in that. That is parks and gardens. You got parks, you got libraries, you got your clinics, you got your pools, you got beaches. All that comes under park, and we have got a massive budget for it. But the problem is, we don't have the right leaders. And if you haven't got the right leaders, and now they are, I see one of my very old friend who was in cemetery and crematoria, white guy, he's back with this thing. So I asked him, what happened? What are you doing here now? He said, no, hold it. Hey, Mr. Farooq, I'm here. They brought me back because the department is falling. And I said, very right. This department is falling. It's the big department. Nobody seems to do anything. Everything is, if your foundation is not strong, Shafat, you're not going to get that department right. You have to get your foundation. And we got the infrastructure. We know what we're doing. And, the same department in the last 15, 20 years ago, they were looking after our beaches. They were looking after our Springbok Beach ground. All the ground, swimming pool was up to date. River Mouth, people used to come there. And Springbok Beach, when it came to all the festive season and all that place, the half of Chatsworth was in Springbok Beach. No more now. Why? Because people are not coming because they're scared of the water content. The beaches are not clean. These are the problems that we face with. And the problem is, you have to employ the right people. Bring the old engineers, bring the old superintendents who knew how to run a department and make sure the beaches are clean, the library is up to date, the pools are up to date. There's so much can be done, but I'm fighting in that department. And when I went into council, that's the department I chose because we had the biggest budget, and I love like garden, pool, libraries, clinics and all that. I went to Mirabank Clinic. When you go and have a look at the clinic, it's a nice clinic, but people are sitting in an area that is not conducive to be sitting there. So, these are the things that we bring up to council level. We bring it under a motion called Section 27. We ask those questions, and this is the problem that we have in council. And you know what? We can only do so much. That is a problem. You need to take the mayor. He's the worst mayor they ever had in council. You ask anybody that, they will tell you that. That is a problem. You need to clean the mayor out first. Take the people who cannot run that department, take them out, put new people there, and we will get it right. In fact, the city is geared up to be one of the, we were third best in the world. We can bring it to that level, but it'll take us some time because we need to clean it up first with all the admin first. That's where your heart is. It's not with the workers on the ground, or we don't have this, or we don't have that. You need to clean your, if your admin is strong, you'll get the company running very, very smoothly, and it will run perfectly, Shafat.
And you know what, Ahmed Farooq, he gave me his swimming trunks for me to dive into the Mogadishu Indian Ocean. But a lot of messages coming for Councillor Ahmed Farooq. And let's read this one. It says, Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to tell you something that when it comes to me coming to Durban, I really am afraid of the ocean. I believe that the water levels are still not very pure, but then there's a lot of false information. How true is that? How you respond to that query, Ahmad?
Shahad, alhamdulillah, as of Thursday, 22 of our beaches have been opened. But, you know, the issue is, on a day-to-day, we check the water contents, we check the quality of the water, and some cases, although the beach has been opened, as we have got the green light to open the beach, but you might have sometime with current from the rivers, somewhere along the line, the water comes into the beach, and therefore, sometime it has to be closed. But if we're expecting a lot of people from Khao Tang coming into our shores here in December. But our water is going to be relatively good because we've got a fully fledged team at the moment working only on the beach. It is, you know, in other words, we have put a team that we don't want to let our visitors down. So we have put a team that making sure three times a day they're testing the water, making sure the numbers are correct before they even put it out in the press. So only when there is a real problem, then only they will close that beach. Other than that, from the 22 beach, from my understanding, as of Thursday, it was open.
Attention, Councillor Parak. From where I sit, I could feel dams of water with all the abundant rains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending. So certainly there is no shortage of water here in KZN. So please, respected Councillor, what is this about water restrictions in Durban? R. Randri. I think R. Randri is making a very good point. I mean, if you've got 20 JoJo's, they'll be overflowing. Ahmed?
Randri is 100% right in what he's saying. The problem is, you can have all the JoJo's. Say you put in your house, you put 20 JoJo's and all 20 JoJo's get full. What happens? You get overflow and then the water will start running out into the road or wherever it will go to. But the problem is the dams are full. We don't have a problem because we're having good rains. We had a very, very good season in terms of rains are concerned. But we cannot pump that water out from that dam into the household, into the pump station, and into your home, into your apartment. That's our problem is because of the line. If you got a rail line going from Durban to Joburg, and the problem is, if the rail line is broken in Maritzburg, you won't be able to go to Joburg. That is our problem. The problem is the line that from the dam to all the pump station, the pipes are all stuffed up. It is broken. It is the old asbestos pipes. It hasn't serviced for the last 20 years. That is our problem. Now, that is where you cannot get your water. You might think there's so much of water that, like Randeri is saying, so much of water in the dam is overflowing. How come we can't get our water in our tap? That is the problem because you can't run through those pipes because a pipe cannot move. That thing is clogged. It cannot push the water to his area or whichever area. That's why you'll find we had to buy like 45 water tankers, brand new water tankers we had to buy about 3 months ago just to serve the community. And then we had to put in area JoJo's. You go to like Phoenix in Bryce Day, Shafat, if you go every 10 kilometers, 5 kilometers, you'll find JoJo's right through. You'll ask yourself, they got pipes and all the pipes are running. They got a pump station here. The pump station is not working. How come we can't get the water into the house? That is the problem. So they have now just followed JoJo their tanks. And in fact, this coming week, I have made arrangement to get one of our own water tankers, especially for Phoenix, Tongat, and Verlam, because I leave it by Hafiz Riaz's plate, or you can leave it at Unit 8 Masjid, and they will be able to service the community because, you know, it's festive season. A lot of people are going to be on holiday now too. How they want to get water? You know, water is the thing, especially we as Muslims, we need water every single day for Paksaf. We need water for wazu. We need, we need water and nothing else. But this, so that is a problem. So I made arrangements. I managed to get the tanker. We got the tank is sorted out, a 40,000 liter tank. I'm just waiting for the hose to be repaired. And hoping by this coming week, we should be able to put that hose and trailer on the road. And in case any other areas need water, so we'll be able to give them water. You know, one glass of water, which we can help somebody, he can put it in his mouth. You know, Allah bless us for that.
But then you talk about senior prosecutor Hafez Riaz, a very wholesome man, a wonderful individual indeed. And, you know, it seems as if the people of, Tongaat have a lot of trouble, Ahmed, because they've been suffering for quite some time now.
Shafat, you won't believe it. We spent 80 million when the floods came. We complete brand spanking new pump station. But you know, when you go and buy, if you got a Toyota vehicle and you're using pirate parts, what happens to it? In the next 6-7 months after wear and tear and all that, it gives up. Put the right part. And if you got a Toyota and you can't put a VW engine, these guys came and put a complete new plant in Tongaat. 80 million we spent, Shafat. We got in black and white. But they went and brought this Chinese equipment. It's not working. That is the problem. So if you go and get, if you want to put an air conditioner, you put the right air conditioner. We'll give you the service for the last 3 to 5 years and service it. That's all you have to do. And they haven't put the right pumps and he's giving us a problem. So that is where the problem in Tongaat is. And if you go, I went there, you know, I do site visits and I go, now what they have done, Shafat, for the last 2 months, they have closed all site visits for all the counselors. They've made special arrangements with the police force in private security as well. The no counselor will be able to go. Now, they are hiding from us. That's the reason they don't want us to go to do site visit, because we will expose them. But anyway, with the help of Allah, you know, you talk nice, you go and kulma nicely, and the guy say, hey, listen, you're going to see. I said, I want to be 2 minutes. I take a quick walk, take one or two pictures, and I'm out of there. And this is how you have to do it. You have to bring it to their attention that A is not working, B is not working. Why is there? Why the council and the mayor is lying to the community? You know, that is the problem we are faced with.
Well, I can tell you, Nasser Aku is smiling. You know why? Yeah, he said, hey, there, man, Ahmed is talking about my Durban South Toyota. Hey, you better organize some services there. I'm taking my Toyota there on Monday. Yeah, I'm going to go check Nasser. I say, hey, you know, Ahmed, he's really addicted to you. But, you know, moving on, I see there's a message here from Clive. Clive says, good morning, sirs. I'm a neighbor of Mr. Farooq there in the Musgrave area. He's doing brilliant work. I must tell you, Ahmed, that the program content I'm listening now is phenomenal. Y'all are current and well sustained. I'm enjoying the views and sharing your views. I want to know from Mr. Farooq, what exactly will the president do about the construction mafia? Can he put it off? I'm thanking you in advance. We'll meet you soon, Farooq, near your mosque. Hey, you got a friend here. Look at the name. He's Clive Pollard. How you respond to your friend, Clive Pollard from Musgrave, Ahmed?
Shafat, Clive. We can tell him one thing. We, at the council level as well as national level, the very important thing, this construction mafia issue that we have brought it into the council level as well as national, they have put a task in place. They are working towards that. And you have to break the back of the construction mafia. But you must understand, it is all run by the taxi mafia. This whole thing, all these mafias in various sectors, it is all run by the taxi mafia. And if they say they're coming, you'll find 150 taxis. They come and close the whole area up, and this is what how they do things. So it is run by the taxi mafia. They are going to break the back of that mafia, because the industry is suffering at the moment, especially the construction industry. With hundreds of plans in council level hasn't been passed yet, because they can't move anymore, because they told them to put it on hold because of they cannot go ahead, because the construction mafia is asking for big money. before they go and do anything. They're not interested who they're employing. You know, technically they should be saying, okay, only employ South African. I understand that. They're not interested. They only were interested in the money to say, okay, you're putting up that construction, we want 400,000 or 300,000. Now, how you have already costed your project, now you need to add another 200,000-300,000 rand to your project. So this is it. And then Ramaphosa is aware of it. And in fact, he brought it in parliament level to break the back of this construction mafia. Let's see in the next 3 months after, in the new year, what happens. And then we will be able to tell Clive that where we are at this moment. But in the meantime, at council level, we're taking them on head on with the mayor to sort this out, because all the construction is going to suffer from January onwards.
Assalamu alaikum. It's me, Ghulam Bhai, from the Kingdom of the Zulu. I see, Ahmed Bhai, that the king of the KZN has ongoing legal battles. Who funds it? Kindly enlighten the payers. How would you answer Ghulam Bhai here? The king got a lot of legal battles, but he's got a lot of money coming from government too. Ahmed?
Javad, the national government, like how we get our budget for in 1st of July every year, he gets his budget. They call it the King Zulu King's budget every year on the 1st of July. He also gets his budget. So obviously, any legal battle or anything has to be funded by their own funding, that which they get from national government. And also, you'll see, if you had to go and meet the king tomorrow, you say you want to go and meet the king, you can't just walk there with your members there. You say, I'm going with 5 members there to meet the king. First, you make an appointment. Secondly, you must be ready to cough up out anything from 18 to 25,000 rand, get one car, get a trailer, and then you first take that car and say, you are coming. There's the car. We have already put it in your crawl there. And then only you'll say, okay, yes, Shafat Ahmed Khan is coming. His delegation will meet with him certain time and everything. That's how. You can't take a sheep or a goat and all to meet the king. No, you should have to go with that place. I remember early this year, we had to go to Herman Mashaba, and we had to get a cow to go there first. I made the arrangement with one of the farmers. We delivered that first, and then only the meeting was confirmed.
Jazakallah for that, and you're absolutely right. Coca first, and then you can see, hey, if you've got a gold dagger, if you've got diamonds and all, you'll get preferential treatment. Messenger from Shokat, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. We noticed that a shootout at a Durban primary school between staff and suspected robbers left a teacher and a gunman wounded. These robbers are going for soft targets. I'm dreading what these robbers will do during the festive season. Please, Ahmed, give me some sukoon, because I'm a Kautenga planning to come to your Durban. I'm glad to hear that the waters are clean now. Ahmed, how do you respond to the Kautenga?
First and foremost, Shafat, Kauteng visitors can come to Durban. If you read this morning's Sunday Tribune, last week I was in a meeting as well. There's over 500 Metro Police additional staff we have employed in the city. The new vehicles have been put on the road. So the visitors is going to be very, very safe. That's number one. Number two, you can 120 kilometers an hour and you want to drive 160, you must embrace yourself to go and sit one night in jail till Monday. If you're driving on Sunday, Monday morning, you'll already get bail, Shafat. That's number two. All the cameras in the city and in our areas are all working. We have spent a lot of money in it, so all the cameras are working. So whoever it is, Shavad, I'm pre-warning them that don't take a chance, because these cameras now will tell you exactly how many people are sitting in your vehicle as well, and it picks up every single detail, minute detail it'll pick up. So far as that is concerned, we are very, very safe. He can come. Visitors can come. Durban is safe. Beachfront has been our top of the agenda. We have got Metro Police. We have got a satellite police station there at the beach as well. additional staff. We have geared up for this festive season. In fact, Shabbat, you know, last year it was, people were scared, it was bleak and all that. We have jacked it up. We want the visitors here because Shabbat, visitors bring in a lot of money, revenue for the businesses and restaurants, hotels, and major supermarket and clothing stores, and everybody makes money out of it. So we are jacked up when it comes to security for this festive season, Shabbat.
Tahir Ahmad says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. What worries me is during December, lots of rain comes, and you know, when it floods, our storm waters or storm water drains are not in tip top condition. Have you all cleaned it out? Have you made alternative arrangements? Or we will be suffering the same, getting stuck in the rain, the freeways being over flooded with water. Please, I don't want to see this because I got stuck every year in December on the freeway. How's it? The storm water drains, have they sorted that out, or are people still clogging it and throwing dirt and all that, Ahmad?
You know, Shafat, when it comes to storm water drain, I've taken pictures. People sweep their stores, they take the dirt and they put it in the storm water. I've seen it and I've taken pictures. And we have now fined them 5,000 rands. A lot of them came. He said, "Hey, Ahmad Parak, help me." Yeah? I said, "Now go to Metro Police, complete your case. They will bring it down to 2,500 or 3,000, but you'll have to pay." But what? Because they got pictures now, photos of that. And then you know you can't do things like that. People just sweep and put it in this. And we have got plain clothes. Guys are watching all the streets and everything at the moment. Who's all the shop owners? Putting the cardboard outside, they're making, you know, you can't walk into town at the moment because of all this here. But the issue is the major freeways and everything, they have been working in the last couple of months to do their best to clean up. But you must understand this, cleaning up, it can take you from 1 month to 7 months or 8 months because this the stormwater drains have not been serviced for many years, so there's a lot of work to be done, but they have done their best just to make sure that our visitors are coming, and we know, especially the December, January, we get a lot of rain. We did our best so far. You will get occasionally here and there issues that, you know, it is out of our control.
Okay, this message says, Assalamu alaikum, Mandro. I'm an old retired educator and I'm a beach boy like you. Really so proud of you, Ahmad. I want to tell you about the ecological problems that we're having here at Rivermouth. Do you remember December time? It used to buzz. Come and see what's happening to our estuary near Island Hotel. It stinks with chemical. The poor fish are still battling. Why are we allowing this to happen? Who's checking this out? I don't know. I feel so sorry. Sometime when I take a walk there, I can smell all the chemicals. Imagine what it's doing to all those, all that is living in that part of that world. Please, Ahmad, come and sort it out because these oaths are hopeless. Ahmad, how you respond to a retired educator?
Shabbat, if you can give it our retired educator my cell number. We need to make an appointment. Then we need to take some, do a video, take it to Parks and Garden and tell them this is the problem that we are faced with and this is what is happening. And when we hit the press on that, especially where you're finding the fish is dying and all that, then it really grips and you'll see no time you'll try and get that area sorted out quick as possible. Because, you know, Rivermouth, it was, you know, we played volleyball on a Sunday morning before we went and played the soccer in the afternoon. So, you know, we have got an area that Spingo Beach was famous for. People used to come from all over. So we cannot let that thing go down the drain there. So we can, the educator can call me. I want to come with a team where we'll be taking proper photos and then take it up and then see best what we can knock them at council. And if they don't listen, then we got plan B to what we have to do. We have to do, Shabbat.
Well, you heard that, retired educator. You do that and Ahmad will get his team there. This message, Ahmad, have you heard of the Umgeni Municipality Chief Whip and DA Councillor Nalanyan Injlovu, was shot dead in his lounge in front of his family in the Tendele area near the Kamberg Nature Reserve on Tuesday. This is happening, and why is it that even councillors are not safe? I don't care which party from, but a councillor is a councillor, and he's serving the people. You don't shoot them, you don't kill them. Is this infighting? I thought ANC members are killing ANC members, but now it seems the DA members, are they killing each other? Ahmed, how do you respond to that?
Shafat, in this case here, I think it is more to it. You know, there's a lot of corruption that is taking place in Amgeni Water. There's, you know, and if it's a DA, especially, and all the opposition parties, we exposed the ANC government. We exposed the mayor. We exposed the city manager. We asked questions. And sometimes when you ask these patent questions, they don't like it. And then what happens? Well, from that question, when we ask them to do a fully-fledged investigation and we put a report, and the CIIU have to do a report, that's when the problem comes in, because now you're opening a can of worms, and this is a problem. And this is what you just, in the country from January to now, 72 councillors, this might be the 73rd, councillors have been shot. Mainly the ANC, IFP councillors have been shot. And this is the very first I heard of a DA councillor. But this is just beginning now. Next, from January, it will start, the heat will start, because, you know, election is in May, anytime May to July. That's when the real, real test is going to come. Because everything is going to come out in the open, and that's what the people and the country wants to know. And we got a lot of information that we will have to use, you know, to gain the votes. We have to reveal information to the community, and that's when you start winning the vote. End of the day, people are tired, Shafat. You are tired, I'm tired, I'm in council, I'm tired. We're fighting. How much more can you fight? You need to change this whole setup in government. You have to take them out there. You have to say, you know what, between the EFF and the ANC, they need to be out. Put people there who will be able to run this country and bring this country back into where it was. You know, we got everything in the world. You got iron, you got coal, you got gold, you got diamond, you got mineral, you got everything in this country. We can be self-sufficient. We don't need anybody else in the world. We can be self-sufficient ourselves. But they did it. The ANC government in the last 30 years has ruined this country through them. You know, to fix this country will take us another 10 to 15 years. That's how bad it is. And whatever money is coming into the coffers too, they don't know how to use it. It goes back to national government or it's been stolen. This is the problem that we are faced with.
Faisal says, "Maaf for my comments, but I feel very lousy this morning. The country has gone pear-shaped, and I think personally the politicians are not serious, and it's frustrating what is happening to this country. As Alan Payton said, cry for the beloved country, and I'm crying." Ahmed, how you respond to Faisal?
Faisal is 100% right. Everyone is crying. Shafat, you know what? We, in the last 20 years, we were okay, we fine. You know, we were making money in our businesses. We were okay. Now the businesses, take all the major businesses in the country. There's no more businesses left. Only the foreigners are coming here and making money, and they're sending everything back. And that's what's happening at the moment. And in fact, that is coming to an end now, because they're cleaning up all the foreigners from the country who are not registered. They'll have to go from January. It's going to hot up, and they will have to start moving. Because you now have to start creating employment. The locals are 48% unemployed in the country. What that tells you, like almost 50% of the country is unemployed. How are you going to get that right? Any country, the wealth of any country is the employment sector. Now that is gone down the tubes. You can't do anything. If it was me, I would still immediately start creating employment. All the students are coming out from the universities, colleges, and all. Where are they going to go in 2024? There's list. If you put an ad today in this radio station and say, you know what, the employment for various industries, you'll find nothing less than 20,000 people outside your door. That's how bad it is, Shepard.
Sad indeed, Ahmad, and Alhamdulillah, may Allah bring about peace, tranquility, and may He make it happen in this country. And, you know, people that going the extra mile, we embrace them and celebrate them. Perhaps your parting words this morning, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, one thing I'm very, very disappointed. We just got about 1 million registered people that pay our bills at the Itigwini municipality. Just under 1 million. There's a concession that we have already put in till the 31st of December. Only 1% of the population of Itigwini does apply. For. You go Chatsworth, you go Phoenix, you go everywhere. People are saying, my electricity bill is very high, my rates and taxes are very high, my water account is out of proportion. Come, if you are a pensioner, there's a facility for you. If you are an indigenous, you cannot afford it totally from COVID time, you're not working, there's a write-off. Everything is there. Go to your nearest Itigwini municipality offices. There are forms there. It will take you 2 minutes to fill that thing. Put that form in and you will get the concession. If you are an NGO, NPC, any one of this non-profit...
NPO.
You go and you'll get 50% of your light and water reduction. I can't understand. I'm talking to everyone. Nobody is coming, Shafa. You know, a lot of people have come to me and asked me how to do it. I'm assisting them. I'm putting this coming week, I'm working with UNITAID Masjid. They got one office there. I'm putting a full-time person there in Chatsworth, in Phoenix. Put one in Chatsworth. Wherever is needed, let the poor people come and apply on their behalf. There is this facility till the 31st. Why are we not taking it? I can't understand this, Shafar.
Good indeed, Ahmad, and you're conscientizing them. Allah bless you for that. And inshallah, you're going to have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
salam. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.